Welcome to the Way of Success. Pastor Banky is teaching the principles of life established in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose kingdom indeed reigns over all. Relax and listen, and you'll be blessed by this message.
Genesis chapter 1, from verse 1, the Bible says, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters." Verse 3 says, "God said, let there be light, and there was light." And in verse 4, God saw that the light was good. Now, if you go down further from verse 6, it says, "Let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." Then God made that expanse. In 7, separated the waters which were below the expanse from the waters which were above the expanse. And it was so. Then the next day, in verse 9, God said, "Let the waters below the heavens be gathered into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. All the thing he has done, God saw it and said it was good. That's in verse 10. Now, this I've read to bring out a summary of the story of creation again. And, you know, two episodes ago, we began to speak about this subject of how to bring to birth the vision of God in your life. And this story from Genesis chapter 1 was our foundation. I laid a foundation that when God came onto a situation that was null and void, the first thing the Spirit of God did was to brood over or move over the surface of the waters. Then in that period, God conceived something in his heart, and then he spoke that thing forth. And the words that he spoke, Jesus said, "They are spirit and they are life." That is, it was not just the words, but the thing that it contained, the concept in the heart of God that he wanted to achieve, that was spoken forth. And those words, when they went out, they generated physical events. Listen. The laws of physics were set into motion. The laws of chemistry were taken advantage of, and the laws of biology and agriculture were put together, and those things began to create exactly what God had proposed in his heart. And when those things came out, the Bible says that God looked at it and said, "This thing is good." That is, it's in exact conformity with what I have in my heart. Therefore, this is the order of bringing something to birth on the earth. First, we observe a bad situation, null and void, and then we brood over it, look over it, and see what exactly is going on. And because of that, we have a vision in our heart, what we want to achieve there. And then having done that, we now speak those things forth. Now, according to the power of the vision in our heart, as we are speaking, events are created on this earth. And then when we look at that, we say this is in exact conformity with what purpose we have in our heart. Now, I explain something which I should emphasize again today, that God is a creator and he has created human beings to be exactly like him. The Bible said that we're made in the image of God and after his likeness. Are you getting the point here? So the same way by which God created, the same way by which God set order into things is how God expects us to set order into things. And I explained that when God was sending us onto the earth, what he did was to put a piece of his vision, his total vision for mankind. He put a piece into the heart of each person. And each person will have that vision in his heart. And when it comes to the surface of the earth, he will observe the problems there. And as a result of the vision that's inside his heart, he will speak or do certain things, take certain actions. And those things that he's doing will now bring the visions of God to birth on the earth. That is, God said, "Let there be light." And in an instant, there was light. But when a human being will say, "Let there be light," that procedure will send him into research. That statement will set events around him in motion. It might take a few years, but eventually, things will happen just as he has said, because he doesn't have the amount of spiritual capacity that God has, so his own might take longer, but it will still be done on the earth. You are getting what I'm saying? So that's the way it works. So we have established that the words that you speak or the vision in your heart is actually a spiritual template for things to be formed. God said to Moses, "Make sure that you build the tabernacle on the earth exactly as I showed you on the mountain." That is, before there was a tabernacle on the earth, there was first a tabernacle in the mountain. Now, so we talked about visions of God. Now, if you notice the things I've revealed so far, the emphasis again is on the fact that God has a vision, God has a purpose for your life. That is, when God was creating you, he didn't create you first and look for a purpose for you. No, he created a purpose first, and then he created you to fit a purpose. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That's why David said in Psalm 139, he said, "You have formed my inward parts." He said, "I will give thanks to you because I've been fearfully and wonderfully made." And he said, "Wonderful are thy works, and my soul knows it very well." He said, "The days that were appointed for me," he said, "before there was yet any one of them, they were all recorded in thy books, O God." Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? That is, he said, "You formed me fearfully and wonderfully. That is, you made me in such a manner that I can walk according to your order in the days that were ordained for me. What am I saying? Before I was born, my purpose was written. Before I was born, God determined what I should do on this earth to affect my generation. And that's a matter of fact. And those things are the things that begin to develop as I grew. For example, you will see that Moses, when he was born in Egypt, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, that his parents saw that he was a beautiful child. Now, I want you to understand the meaning of the word beautiful again. Beautiful does not have any absolute description in itself. It's always relative to purpose. It's always relative to function. For example, a very beautiful car is that which is able to perform its function very well. If you design a car very well, in your opinion, it looks like a piece of a well-designed suit. All right? Nobody will look at the car and say, this car is very beautiful. But if you design a suit and somebody were to wear it and it fits him well, then the suit is beautiful. So when Moses was called beautiful, what the parents were saying is that we understand that this child has a mission on earth. He has a purpose. For that reason, they were not afraid of the decree of Pharaoh, according to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Now, Moses was born beautifully. You understand the point now? And that's something that he was supposed to do. But as a 5-year-old child, he didn't know that. As a 10-year-old child, he probably didn't understand it. But as he was growing up, he began to observe the punishment that was being meted out to the nation of Israel. And something in his heart began to stir. And he found out his own origin. And then because of the pressure in his heart for the liberation of the children of Israel, he left the palace where he was living and began to live among slaves. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? The reason is that there was a purpose for which he was born. That was what his parents noticed, and they made that made them call him a beautiful child. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, so that thing was developing in the heart of Moses. The purpose for which he was born was developing in his heart as he was growing. And it now became a vision for him. He wanted to see these people liberated. He began to take steps, some of which ran him into serious trouble. But in his heart, he had the passion to see the liberation of Israel from the bondage that was in Egypt. Then he ran into the wilderness. And there God met him one day after many years of running around the wilderness. And then God sent him back into Egypt. And the very vision of his heart were now fulfilled. You are getting the point I'm making. That is, before there was Moses, there was a bondage in Egypt, and there was a purpose of God to deliver the people that were in bondage out of bondage. And again, let me emphasize, everybody is a Moses in his own capacity. Everybody has been sent with a vision from God. Now, I've established all these things, and I said something, that the vision of God is always a vision of love. What I mean is this. The vision of God is not always, I will make you a very, very rich king, and that's all there is to it. No. The vision of God is that I will make you a rich king so that... Are you getting what I'm saying? Even when God blesses you, there is always a reason why he does it. Are you getting the point? There is always a reason. He told Abraham, I will bless you so that you will be a blessing. So this is how you know that a vision is of God. The paramount thing about it is it's how to bless people, how to affect the society positively, how to increase righteousness in a nation, because the Bible says it clearly that righteousness is what exalts a nation. So if you have a vision of increasing righteousness in the nation, then it's a vision of God, because ultimately what you want to do is to exalt that society. Are you getting my point? For example, personally, I have a vision of filling the earth as much as God allows me with the knowledge of God, because that knowledge of God is actually the beginning of wisdom. Now, those are among the things I have we have said about this matter of the vision of God. Now, in this series, like I mentioned, what we are doing is seeing how the practical steps. You know, I said something earlier that, you see, when God said, the Bible said there was, that is, in an instant, as the words were spoken that's out of the mouth of God, the power was so intense that the earth had to quickly respond and produce that thing. So that if a natural human being was observing, you will see it created in an instant. But actually, if you had the ability to slow down the process and observe the things that God did, you will see that all the laws of life, all the principles of science were observed. God didn't break them. It's just that what he did was to quickly bring it to an end. Are you getting my point? Quickly, he did what the Bible would call a quick walk in righteousness. Quickly, he started the thing. Because of the power of his person, the thing finished very quickly. So, but then in our situation, when we want to perform the vision of God, things may walk a bit slowly. And within that walking, that is the process of walking, there are certain things you must do to eventually bring that purpose to birth on the earth. That is, God puts a vision in your heart, and he now said that you must walk out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Do you get what I'm trying to say here? That is, there are things you must do to bring that vision to pass. And those are the things we're examining. Now, the first thing I'm going to say in those lights, having because what I've done so far essentially is to lay some very important foundations. You must understand that there is a way things work. God said in Isaiah chapter 55 that there is a way by which I do things, and this is how it is. I speak forth a word, and the word goes out and goes to accomplish. I don't struggle. First, what do? I brood upon the matter. First, what do? I make sure that the image is well formed in my heart. I know exactly what I am trying to do, so that when I begin to speak, the charge in those words, the spiritual power in those words are so great, so that when the thing comes out, natural things must necessarily respond. And that's where Christians, children of God, should also lay their emphasis. That's where they should exert their energy. Not to run up and down trying to do things, all right, make things work, but to first settle down. I'm going to start from there. Because the first thing in this thing is to first receive that thing inside your heart. You must first download the vision from heaven, and you must have an exact copy of the vision of God in your heart. You must be persuaded about what you want to do. Now, let me say this again. I've said several times that Satan in himself does not have any power. Don't let anybody fool you, make the devil look like as if he's very powerful. No, he doesn't. He cannot make people do things they don't want to do. The only thing he can do is to try to persuade you to do what he wants you to do. Are you getting my point? I'm bringing out an issue here. What Satan tries to do actually in life to make people fail is to persuade them that the visions in their hearts can't work. Are you getting my point? And your own duty, your own assignment is to first establish by faith that the vision in your heart can work. Now, please let me emphasize this again. If God wants to turn a nation around and make it good, I'm one of the people that believe very strongly that Nigeria can be as good as any nation on the earth, talking about social matters and economic matters and legal matters. In a matter of 6 months, it can be done. Believe me, it most certainly can be done. Whatever it is that you want your society to become, I need to emphasize again, those things don't come purely by prayer. They don't come only because people have prayed. That is one. Daniel can pray, and God will determine, according to the prayer of Daniel, to fulfill his promise that he made to Jeremiah, that the people will be delivered from Babylon in 70 years. But having done that, God has to now look for a Cyrus who will take over the kingdom from Nebuchadnezzar and then make the oppressed of God go free. That's just the way it works. So despite the fact that you have prayed, despite the fact that you have asked God for things concerning your nation, or not just your nation, your family, your society, whatever it is that you are involved in, something beyond yourself, there is another thing that must be done. Are you getting my point? Now, those things that you have prayed about, God has answered. He said, but before I can make them manifest, I can't just jump down to the earth and do it. I just give the vision. I give the plan. I give the purpose into the hearts of people. Now, it is the responsibility of those people to effect my answer to prayer. Are you getting the point I'm making? It's so important. Many of us, God has called us as answers. In fact, I believe absolutely that everybody is an answer to somebody else's prayer. Are you getting what I'm going to say? Everybody is. That is, there is something that somebody is praying about, that if you will do what God wants you to do in life, the person's prayer will be answered. Many people, young people, are looking for jobs. They are looking for this. There are people that God said, look, go out and create jobs. All right? Sometimes I counsel students. I say, listen, if you know you have problems, maybe financially on campus, listen, there are things you can do to sustain yourself while you are in school. Are you getting my point? Now, in many societies, the society allows things like that. A student comes to school, you counsel him, how much money do you have? Is anybody sending you money? Do you have a student's loan? They ask all those questions. If it's not available, then they begin to show you the options of how you can work, maybe in the morning, take your lectures in the evening, or work in the evenings while you take your lectures in the morning. When you're holiday, maybe they'll be able to connect you with people who will need services that you'll be able to offer, so you can save money while you're on break and then come back to school. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Now, those kind of things are also possible here. Now, the vision that I have just described, a portion of it, God has placed it in the hearts of certain people. You have getting my point. Sometimes, I've given this one as an example in one of our previous teachings, that generally, because of the problems of survival, you know what I mean by survival, a lot of times you find out that the father gets up in the morning, he rushes off to work, he doesn't come back till he's late. There are children in the house. The mother also has to get up early in the morning and then go out and go and get some. At the end of the day, who's actually looking after these children? Now, the ideal thing would be that maybe the mother should stop her former job and look after the children. But then they will tell you that when you see the realities of life, how are you going to cope? Those children need to eat. They need to be clothed. They need to say, okay, fine. Nobody is saying that those things are not important. But, okay, how do you solve it? There should be avenues to allow women that have children, all right, have part-time jobs, all right, earn some money and still have enough time to be, they may be back home before the kids get back from school. Now, I'm giving little ideas of what the Bible calls visions now that can be in the hearts of people that you can use to bless the society. Are you getting my point? This particular company I read about, all right, what the man does is an airline, I think it's an airline in the United States. What the man does is to employ housewives as their ticketing agents. Are you getting my point? They are travel agents. They help you book your ticket, all right? When you call the company, actually it's a wife somewhere at home that's answering the call. Her computer is there, connected to the internet, and from there she's booking your ticket for you. Because the man just realized that, look, this particular job doesn't need somebody leaving her house and come to the office. This is the day of the internet. Are you getting my point? So just say, okay, all the women that are housewives in his society, say, okay, good, come and apply for a job. Give you a bit of training. You work a few hours a day and you earn some extra money. What am I trying to say? These were visions in the hearts of people to improve their society. So we see when you prayed about things like that, all right, and God wants to answer your prayer. Listen, he has placed your answer in the heart of somebody. Do you understand my point? Listen, we must get this point. And you know the interesting part? I always say this. God, you know, wealth is a blessing from God. All right? To have enough to eat, to have enough to drink, to have enough to wear, to be able to rejoice the days of your life, you know? The Bible says clearly that it is the gift of God. That is, you don't get up to start running after those things. Jesus warned, he said, these are the things that the Gentiles seek after. What is the Christian supposed to do? He is supposed to seek first the kingdom of God. What do you call the kingdom of God? It's not something that is abstract. I'm giving you practical terms what it means to seek first the kingdom of God. That is, there is a vision of God that will bless the environment in your heart. Then you must step out to manifest it. Please, listen, I'm just trying to emphasize it to us again. The redemption of a nation will not drop from the sky. It's as individuals within that nation rise up and begin to manifest the kingdom of God and the visions of God in their heart that the whole nation will begin to turn around. And you may say that the leaders will not allow you. Let me give you a prophetic word again. When you are ready, God will make you a leader. Let me say that again. When you are ready to fulfill that thing that's inside your heart, God will make you a leader. That's the point I want you to understand. The Bible says clearly, God was speaking to Nebuchadnezzar. He said, you must understand that the Almighty rules in the affairs of men and gives the kingdoms of men to whosoever he wishes. It is not PDP or INEC or any political party or any military that makes anybody a ruler. Are you getting my point? It is that the Almighty feels that at this point in time, you are the one that will execute my purpose. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? It's a sad thing that a lot of people that get appointed to office, they never dreamt of what they will do before they get there. Let me tell you something using scriptures as an example. Joseph, the reason why Joseph was appointed prime minister, listen, was that he had a vision of what to do about the problem that was coming. Joseph was in prison, having exercised himself in all the challenges that God has brought across his way in his life. One day they told him that Pharaoh had a dream, and they say you can interpret the dream. They brought him before Pharaoh. He interpreted the dream. He said, this is the interpretation. 7 years of abundance coming immediately. And then immediately after that, another 7 years of intense famine. He said, famine so intense that we'll forget the 7 years of abundance. Now, as soon as he finished that, he said, look, then we have to do something. What do we have to do? He said, let Pharaoh appoint a man. That was the first thing. Because he understands that progress, safety, salvation always depends on a man. He said, Pharaoh, appoint a man. A man who will go out and supervise the pulling into great stores of the excess, then so that they will be able to preserve it and then keep it for the days of famine. Then Pharaoh looked and said, well, since you can think of such a solution, this is the point I'm making. Because in his heart, there was a vision to solve the problem, not just the interpretation of dreams. You are getting the point I'm making there? All right, so what I'm saying is that the solution is always with somebody. And please, let's get personal about this matter. Each person has something that he's supposed to solve. Now, I said something about Satan earlier, that Satan himself doesn't have power. He can't wreck anything. He cannot spoil anything for anybody. You know the only thing he can do? He can distract people from doing what they are supposed to do. So what does he do? He comes and tells you, what shall you eat? What will you drink? And wherewithal shall you be clothed? He said, better start running after those things. And then the person departs from the vision of God and starts pursuing those things. And then that is it. That vision is neglected. Do you get my point? Look, brain drain is literally a draining. That is, there are people that have the solution to problems. But because of what will I eat, what will I drink, they go running to where the earth is with form and is not void. Are you getting what I'm saying? And I'm going to talk about that in a moment. Listen, this is how the assignment of God for every child of God is. When God conceives something, it is because the earth is without form and is void. And darkness is upon the surface of the deep. Therefore, he says, arise, shine. Because what God does is to put his vision as light in your heart. Oh, I find that I'm still essentially laying all the foundation. So let me sit on the first thing that you must do. I just need to emphasize that again. That there is a problem that God has created you to solve. Incidentally, when I started teaching on the way of success, the first message I preached, I titled it Created for Impact. Now, so you are getting the point I'm making. There is a progress in a particular sector of life that depends on you. I just can't seem to get away from that thing. If you start seeing life like that, let me prophesy to you, you will never be poor in life. You will never be frustrated. Are you getting my point? You won't die early. That's a matter of fact. Death is never an accident. Is that okay? Somebody may have died by accidental discharge or what we call an accident, a road traffic accident. But the death actually is never an accident. It's actually it's a spiritual termination of a life. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, when you are walking, pursuing the purpose of God, listen, I'm telling you again, you will not die suddenly. You are getting the point I'm trying to make here. Now, because God will guide your life so that his purpose might be effected. And that's a matter of fact. Now, because we understand the importance of this, please let me try and sit down on the things that one must do, all right, if you are going to have the vision of God brought to birth in your life. Now, the first thing, of course, which I started saying is that number one, let's get back to Genesis chapter 1 again. It said that the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. Yes, first of all, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the surface of the deep. All right? And that's what I want to emphasize first. Now, is that matter of the Spirit of God moving over the surface of the waters I want to end today's teaching with, and then we'll continue from there next time. Like I said about Joseph earlier, Joseph was appointed a ruler because his spirit had created a solution. Now, the vision in your heart, the first place that it must actually be properly birthed is inside your heart. Are you getting my point? Now, notice that darkness was upon the surface of the deep. Now, this is a point. In life, there are situations that darkness is controlling. You will notice that darkness was upon the face of the deep, the Bible says, and the Spirit of God was moving or hovering or brooding upon the surface of the waters. This is the point. Most people, they don't act like God, all right? Bible says in Isaiah chapter 55, he said, your ways are not my ways. That is, most people don't do like God. When there is darkness, what we do is to first run from where the darkness is. But what is the order of God? There is a problem, yes. Before we run, we first settle down and find out what the problem is, and then look inside our hearts to find out whether the solution for that problem, okay, is inside us. And just by the way, if the solution is not inside you, you might identify a friend whose the solution is inside him and you encourage such a person. But let me talk about individuals now. That is me as a person, you as a person. There is a particular solution that is inside your heart. And now how you know, using the words of Mike Murdock, is that you will find out that in life, there is something that concerns you more than it concerns other people. Let me give you an example. As a preacher, the thing that concerns me more than any other thing is that the word of God or the principles, the righteousness of God is learned by people. Are you getting my point? That is, it amazes me and I'm greatly displeased. And that's how come I know that my message is mostly for young people. Because they are the ones that my heart goes out to every time I'm talking. That listen, tomorrow is coming and you must lay a solid foundation for your tomorrow. Are you getting my point? That you have been born for a purpose. You must learn to walk according to the purpose of God for your life. That thing moves me all the time. Mike Murdock now said that the thing that concerns you the most, therefore, may be what God exactly has called you to solve as a problem. Now, sometimes you may not even know it until the day that the thing comes upon you. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That is Joseph as an example. Joseph had a dream, but ruling somebody was not the concern of his life. The concern of his life was surviving all the challenges or adversities that he was facing. Are you getting the point I'm making? But then when the thing was thrust upon him, because of the discipline inside his soul all the while, instantly the spiritual energy inside him rose up in the vision that he delivered immediately to Pharaoh, and he found his place in life. Do you understand the point I'm making here? That is, the solution to darkness is first of all to relax, move over it, think about it. I was saying that the first thing that your vision must do is to be fully birthed in your own heart. Listen, God creates opportunities, and I think I need to explain this properly. God creates opportunities for those who will do something with those opportunities. Do you get my point? Now, there's a spiritual order in life. Anything you constantly think about, eventually the opportunity to do that thing will be created for you. And that's how come I know that Satan actually works a lot through the media. Are you getting my point? And actually in life, I believe I'd like to sell this vision to as many people who can buy it. Whatever it is you are doing in life, try to get the media involved. Not because you are looking for popularity, but because I believe that Satan should be challenged concerning the power of the media. Are you getting my point? Let me give you an example. Buy an average CD, all right? Or watch an average movie. There's so much talk about sexual immorality that from youth, people have had cause to consider it all the time. And this is a fact. As soon as you grow up, opportunities will be created for you to perform that which you have already been thinking about. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? You know, some time ago, I was watching something I think was on TBN or CBN Network. And they're talking about the power of video games. And there was a young man, he was arrested by the police for a traffic offense. You know, a young boy, maybe about 17. And the policeman didn't think much about it, all right? He's just a young boy. Maybe he stole a car, I don't know, or he was driving wrongly, or he was driving without a license, something like that. Something that was relatively mild, all right? They did not take him to the police station, and while they were trying to book him, the man saw a policeman that had a gun in his on his waist. He knocked the one beside him down, jumped, picked up the gun, and killed four policemen there. Now, nobody could understand why on earth this guy did it. The crime he committed, he most likely wasn't going to go to jail. Yet here he was, had murdered four people. And why was he able to kill them? Because they did not think he was a violent criminal. If they thought he was, they would have chained him properly. So they began to investigate and check the kind of video games this guy had been playing. That what he actually did was exactly what he had played out again and again in his video games. First attempt at handling a gun, he fired accurately and killed four adults. Who were trained in... Are you getting what I'm going to say? Why? Because all his life, what he had considered... When I read his story, I think I read it in a magazine. Now, when I read it, I said, God, this is the power of the imagination. Mike Murdock explained something once, that whatever you pre-play in your heart, which is your imagination, when you are given the opportunity outside, you tend to do it accurately. Are you getting the point I'm going to make here? Now, that's the principle of life. I've just brought up this matter to see how it has been used negatively. But my emphasis is on how it can be used positively. And I always encourage young people, sit down at home. There is something you have passion with. There is. Are you getting what I'm going to say? And if you like that, imagine what you will do if given the opportunity. Do you understand the point I'm going to make here? As a person, look, I sit down and I have dreamt of 1,000... Well, figuratively speaking now, different ways to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ effectively. The little that I can do, I'm already doing it. I have a website, messages are there, you can download, they are all free. As much as possible, let the thing go out, if possible, for free all the time. This broadcast is coming to your home. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? The idea is that there are thoughts, before one of them was done for years, I've been thinking about them. There are things I'll probably do over the next 1 or 2 years. Right now, I have thought so much about them. Are you following the point I'm trying to make? And that's a matter of fact. Eventually, opportunities will be created for that thing that's inside your heart. And that's what I'm talking about today. The Spirit of God moving up upon the surface of the waters. And then God said, I'll discuss that one next time, but God said, it is not just about uttering a desire. No, it is uttering something that is concrete. Therefore, the forces of life had no choice but to respond. You get that point?
The Way of Success is a production of Kingdom Word Ministries, a non-denominational teaching ministry based in Enugu, Nigeria. For more information and for free access to Pastor Banky's audio messages, books, and other materials, log on to kingdomword-ng.org. Our mailing address is mails@kingdomword-ng.org. or P.O. Box 2273 Enugu, Nigeria. Please join us same time next week for another refreshing time with the Word of God, and have a blessed week.